open lines now tonight, those very special Friday night and the Saturday morning open lines. Before we get going, a little business here. You know, we have the prayer list on Fridays where people email me asking that some person or even a pet be put on the prayer list. And folks, remember now, just take a moment of your own time on Friday and just do your prayer for these people on the list. We don't publish the list at all with afflictions, nothing like that. But I do want to read a couple emails. One is in from Donna, and it simply said, please put my sister Joan on your prayer list. She has a heart condition, memory issues. Another one, George, my nephew Andy, age 30, diagnosed with cell cancer, stage 3 of 3 in this particular case. He's got the size of a flattened football on his lung. He's got a 2-year-old little boy. Please pray for him, too. So do it. Do what you can. Believe me, some miracles do occur on things like that. So I'm on my way into work today. It's Friday. I've said, hey, we're going to have a nice night. I'm dealing with Raven Grimassi the Witch, and then I'm going to do open lines. And it's in Los Angeles, unlike St. Louis, where you can actually drive around. Here in L.A., certain times of the day, you can't really drive. And I'm coming in at about the 3 o'clock, and I pre-prepped at home, and all of a sudden, I'm down the freeway, and my low tire pressure light goes on. My low tire pressure light never goes on. It goes on. So I'm saying, gee, what the heck is that? Because, you know, I'm the kind of guy, preventative maintenance on your cars. Fix things before they break, basically. Just always maintain it. So I get the tires checked, you know, rotated, everything. I even got nitrogen in my car. Instead of just air in the tires, I've got nitrogen. Anyway, this light goes on, and so I figure, you know what? I'm only about a mile and a half away from my favorite tire store. I'll bring it in. So I do. And she says, hey, George, what's up? What can you do for you? You just got new tires about a year ago. And I went, yeah, I know. I've got my low tire pressure light has gone on. And let's check it. So they did. And sure enough, they found a 3-inch screw in the tire. Right there. I don't know how I got it. Maybe Tommy put it in there. I don't know. I can't figure it out. But they fixed it. They patched it. And off I went. But you know, sometimes you least know where you're going to be when your car breaks down. So I've got two topics for open lines tonight. One is, where have you been when your car broke down? In the strangest places. I would love to hear those stories. The other question is, I want your mad moment. The moment in your life that this you were the maddest you ever were. Share that with us, too. And then we've got general open lines right here on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, George Noy with you. So open lines, mad moment. Where have you been when your car broke down? And just general open lines for you. So let's go to the phones. Let's get going with Randy, truck driving in Wyoming. Always a pleasure, Randy. Welcome to the program.
Hi, George.
Hey.
Hey, I've tried to get this story, tell you about this story for 3 years now. And being a truck driver, driving in Wyoming, we're in the hills, and it cuts me off a lot. So hopefully it don't do it tonight.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, when I was 14 years old, I had a friend that was 16. He had a car, and he always let me drive that car. And but anyway, one night he had this really nice looking girlfriend. He had me drop her off at her house, and I dropped him off, and I could see her house from where I lived. And I went around that first corner, like 30 little kids playing out in the road. At least that's what I thought it was.
Oh man.
And I go down the road, and I mean, I'm just going real slow. And what would you think if you seen a bunch of kids? You'd think, oh, they're going to get out of the road for you, right?
You would think so. They'll all scatter.
Right. It's 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm just going slow. And instead of getting off the road, they come close, get out in the middle of the road, and I finally had to stop. And I stopped, and one of them come, I had the windows down because it was the middle of summer, and one of them come over to the window, and I looked at it, and I thought, holy crap, this, you'd think it was Halloween, you know, and it was July, you know, it was July the 3rd, night of July the 3rd.
Zombie kids.
And, well, they was green. They had, they didn't have, you know, you see, they didn't have no clothes. Their skin was all,
They were all green?
Yes, they was, I mean, like a grayish green. And one of the things I'd like to get hypnotized and go back to what
I've
been. I'm 63 years old. I'm about sure, about same age you are.
You think they were extraterrestrials?
I really do. I seriously
do. Whoa.
And, but they, the one come up the window and he's just scared, he scared the tar out of me. And I rolled the window up and I looked over and the other one, there was another one on the other side and that window was down. I rolled it up and, I took and, pretty soon one of them, I mean, this car was a 53 Ford and there was one all of a sudden he popped up on the hood. I couldn't even see him in front of me.
They were going crazy.
They had me surrounded, totally surrounded. And the one jumped up on the hood, just, I mean, he just suddenly popped up on the hood. I'm trying to find a place to actually, turn off here because I lose. There's a place
I'm going to lose you. I can tell I'm losing you now anyway. So, let me ask you something real quickly.
Okay.
As you were driving through, I mean, do you remember what happened next or is that gone?
Yes. No, I was stopped, and pretty soon one of them, he jumped up on the hood, and he crawled across the window, and he was right at the window, and he hit the windshield, he hit the glass.
My God.
And he started scratching on the windshield, and I was watching his eyes, and I, you know, you could see, and he didn't know what glass was, and he started scratching. And
But were they trying to get at you?
Yes, they was after me, and I was scared to death.
My God!
Pretty soon, another one jumped up on. And he did the same thing. Come over, scratched at the glass, and then what I did? Finally, one of them come up over the back of the trunk and come up over the top, and he got up on the top, and I hear him crawling across the top, and I got so scared I just took off.
Did he fall off?
I yanked the steering wheel back and forth, and I threw him off, and I went around, got my friend, come back around, and I told him, I started telling about him, and I turned my radio down.
Yeah, turn that radio.
Anyway, I took and got him, and when I got around there, they was gone.
My gosh.
Yeah.
Now, did you see any craft or lights before you saw them on the street?
I've never seen a
Nothing
thing.
Like that.
Nothing.
But now describe their face for me, if you would, Randy.
Their face?
Yeah, their faces.
They had the black eyes. Well, the thing was, they had no clothes on. Their skin was gray, was more gray than anything.
How do you know they didn't have any clothes on? And it wasn't like some suit.
Because you could see their whole body.
I mean, did they have sexual organs and everything else?
He was crawling on the ground. They I'm going to tell you the one thing I do know about them. They was very short. They was like 3 foot tall.
Yeah. Well, that's the typical, but these weren't grays. They were greens.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you this happened. And someday, George, I'd like to give you my phone number and I would like to have you connect me with getting hypnotized.
All right.
Someday.
We can do that. I'll tell you right now, Randy, just go to our website in the search engine in the far right-hand corner, type in Bruce Goldberg. Bruce Goldberg. He's a hypnotherapist, and he can do a lot of this via phone, too, but you guys need to connect. He's one of the best. Thanks. What a story. Driving down the street, you think you were seeing a bunch of kids and their little ETs coming from all over the place. Pretty aggressive, too. Next up, Christina's with us on Astoria, Oregon. Hello, Christina. Good morning.
Good morning, George. It's so exciting to talk to you. I've been a fan of your program now for 5 years.
Well, thank you.
And I just love listening.
Excellent. What's going on with you?
Well, as Raven was talking with you, I started thinking about a story. I know we're off that subject now.
No, that's okay. It's open lines. Anything goes.
It kind of ties in with my entire life, as now I'm Wicca, and I've been searching my whole life for a spirituality, a religion that fit me, and I've tried everything. And it just seems so natural for me, as if I've done it before. Well, when I was 18, I was going to a Halloween party in Manitou Springs, and Manitou Springs was rumored to be one of the witch capitals of the U.S. I'm not sure if that's true or not, but there were a lot of them there. And I knew nothing about it. I was raised a Christian. So my friend asked me to go to this party, and we dressed up. It was a Native American theme. They had teepees. It looked really exciting. So he has a donkey, of all things, and we ride into the party, all dressed up, and a guy with horns on his head comes out to meet us, and he shakes my hand and talks to Dean. I don't know who he is. And I said, oh, what's with the horns? You know, what's your costume? And he says, I'm the god, you know, and I'm like, okay, I knew not what the god was. I mean, I actually said, you mean like Jesus and God? And he gave me this dirty look. Oh, he didn't like that at all. So we went inside, and we were instructed to sit in a circle. And there was a fire, a little fire in the middle, and we sat there, and they passed, I think it was marijuana around. And we all smoked, and I had to get up and go outside to get some air. I was feeling really dizzy and claustrophobic,
of course.
They told me, you can't leave the circle. Under no circumstances are you to leave the circle. And I had two of my friends with us. They also left the circle for various other reasons.
They break the connection, I guess, when you do that.
Yeah, and I know that now, but what's really strange is after the party, we're riding back. It was very close to where Dean lived, and he had a donkey. I guess that was for show. I don't know why, but we're going to his parents owned a hotel there, and he stayed in one of the rooms, and he was dropping me off, and there was two steps there, and the donkey literally fell over on top of me.
Ouch.
I couldn't walk for 3 days.
He crushed you.
Yeah, I still have back problems to this day. My friend Dean.
Those things are heavy.
Yeah. Tell me about it. Well, I went to the hospital. You know, they couldn't see anything wrong, had a bruise, you know. So nothing was ever done about it. My friend Dean, 2 months later, developed brain cancer.
Oh.
He died very quickly after that. The donkey that we were riding wrapped itself around a pole and choked. This was all within, you know,
unbelievable.
A few months. My friend Dean, who was also there, not Dean, I'm sorry, Brian, he the next day he was going to Kmart, and he was crossing the road and almost got mowed down. Coincidence? I don't know.
There are no coincidences. Something happened from that event.
Right. And it's odd now that I'm drawn to Wicca as if, you know, not that it's a bad thing.
No, Wicca's, I've not found Wicca to be bad.
My eyes have been opened. Right. It's wonderful and beautiful.
And they're good people.
And, yeah, right. Most of them.
Yeah, they are. Christina, thanks for the story. Let's take a few more calls before the break. Tyler, truck driving in Indiana now, east of the Rockies. Hello, Tyler.
Hey, George.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I've been listening to you for about 2 years now. First time I've called in. And I absolutely love your show.
Well, thank you so much. And finally, what got you to call in?
Well, I got a couple, a little story. And then I actually have been to one of Raven's events. It was one of his speeches. And I just have to say he's one of the best witch speakers that's around.
He is. He's very calm, collected, and truthful.
And on that note, my family knows I'm wicked, and just about everybody in my family has basically disowned me for that. And I was wondering, have you ever talked to any other witches that has happened to?
That had what?
That family has disowned them because they don't understand?
No. No, the witches that we've had on the program have been established. They've been around for a long time, from Fiona Horn to Evelyn Paglini to other witches that we still have on the show. But none of them have ever talked about their families disowning them or running away from them or anything like that. Has that happened to you?
Yes.
Wow. Maybe they don't understand it. They don't understand witchcraft.
That's what I think, because my family is dominantly Roman Catholic.
Oh, see, that's why. That's why. They think, when you hear the word, if I were to tell my mother, not that I'm a witch, but if I were to tell her I'm a witch, I think she'd go nuts. She'd think, oh, my God, what are you into? Oh, my God. She'd be, you know, that's just her. So I probably understand what your family went through. They don't. And they just don't understand it.
Exactly. And I got a story for you. It's a little odd one.
All right. I've got a couple minutes for you. Go ahead.
I was driving outside of Chicago about 6 to 7 months ago. And on the side of the road, they went past two of the crosses where somebody was killed in a car accident.
Oh.
About a half mile up the road, I see two people. Well, I started slowing down and noticed it looked like one of them was bleeding. So, being a prior EMT, I pulled off, was seeing if they needed help. By the time I got to the back of the trailer to where they were, there was nobody there.
Nobody there? Where'd they go? Or were they ever there?
That's what I've been trying to figure that out ever since.
That'll make you wonder. I got to tell you, being a reporter in my younger days, I covered a lot of stories and accident scenes in Detroit, and there's nothing worse than, going to an accident scene and you're right there with the police and the EMTs as they pull out these bodies from cars that have been mangled. It's just awful. It's just awful. But I came on one once where I got there before the EMTs got there. We had police scanners, and this poor guy apparently had died of a heart attack while driving. So his car, he rammed into the abutment, and he was just slouched over his wheel. And, I mean, just icy cold looking, really was. Just unbelievable. But we're going to continue with open lines, and don't forget some of the other topics. Your maddest moment. And where were you when your car broke down? What an inconvenience that is, really is. Don't forget to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And email me anytime you want at george@coasttocoastam.com. Okay, welcome back. George Norrie with you. Another segment of Open Lines here on Coast to Coast AM, where you become the program. We're talking about a couple subjects as well. The moment that you were the maddest in your life. Share that with us if you want to. And where have you been when your car broke down? Let's go to Josh in St. Louis. Welcome to the program. Hi, Josh.
How you doing?
Good. All is well. How about you?
I'm just working, driving around. Your radio station keeps me going through the night.
Super. What do you do?
I do public safety.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got a good one for you.
Okay.
It was one time I had a flat tire, and I got the story my uncle told me growing up. You recall the bubbleheads, don't you?
The bubbleheads?
In North County?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, it took me some years and years and years to get the courage to go up there and go look at it and see what's going on. Nobody never took no pictures of them or anything I've seen. So me and a couple of my friends went up there. We're driving down the road, and we finally got in there, bypassed, all the little detours and everything to get in there. And as soon as we pull up in there, not even halfway down the street, I got a blown tire.
Oh.
And so, kind of freaked out in the middle of the night, dark as can be. And you're hearing all these weird noises in the trees and the woods and everything. And everybody's freaking out. I'm freaking out. We're like, oh, we're going to get caught by these bubbleheads. They're going to eat us up or something. And my uncle told me, well, growing up, he's like, yeah, they'll get you and drag you in the woods and they'll take you back to the place. And luckily, I had a friend that was kind of fast on jacking the car up and putting a spare on there. And it took him a little minute, but it was fast enough to get us out of there.
And good thing you had a spare tire. A lot of people just have those little donut Tinky toy things now.
Yeah, I had a full size. I grew up knowing that them little donut tires don't work.
They don't work at all.
Oh, no.
Good for you. Mm-mm. I think that was a myth, don't you?
I heard a lot of stories. I heard somebody said it was a pharmaceutical thing that, you know, the
went awry.
They were taking a medication and they got their head swollen and the pharmaceutical company paid them off and gave them property. That's what I heard.
And they all just lived out that way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was like protected land.
But they weren't very friendly people.
No, they're kind of like the Hills Have Eyes kind of people.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Josh. Appreciate you being part of the show. Let's go to Tucson, Arizona. Jim is with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Jim, go ahead.
Hey, George.
Hey.
Long time listener, first time caller.
Oh, thank you. What got you to call?
Well, your moment of extreme anger.
Ah, okay.
You ever have a time in your life where you could pinpoint the exact minute?
Yes.
Yeah, I think... had a case like that.
Yeah.
And mine was, it was July 1st, 1988, at exactly 9:02 p.m.
What happened?
Oh, well, I was at a science fiction convention in Phoenix, and I was out to dinner with a bunch of friends, and we just came back, and we had our dinner after, but there was one idiot that just was a complete, total a-hole type of person.
Yeah.
And we came back to go enjoy some parties and have a good time, and I got a phone call from my father. My mother just passed away.
Oh, my God.
And that's why I know it exactly at 9:02 p.m. So
yeah.
I sat there. I'm on the phone. I just hung up. And I'm, like, stunned on the set.
You're in shock.
I'm in shock.
Yeah.
And this guy walks into the hotel room like he owns it. He sees me upset. And he looks at my friends. He goes, "What's okay, man? Acts like his mom just died."
Oh.
And my friends go, "His mother really did just die." And he goes, "Yeah, so what big deal? People die every day." I discovered I could levitate.
Yeah, right at him, right?
I was going for the throat. I literally went flying for his throat. I was going to kill him.
How could people be so cruel and insensitive?
That's what got me, okay? And it was one of my friends who's this cowgirl type of person. She had me on the floor with the belt off her pants and hogtied like a prized calf at a rodeo. Well, the other guy grabbed this other guy, shoved him out the door and down a staircase.
I mean, I could understand the dumb remark of, "You look like your mother just died." But after that, once they realized what was going on, I mean, the guy should have been there helping you.
It gets better. My father told me, he called me back, told me to stay in Phoenix for a couple of days because there was nothing I could do. And everybody else, the next day, heard what happened. They were apologizing, and they said, "Oh, there's anything we can do to help." And this guy was like,
"He still didn't do it."
Still didn't do it. Never apologized, and actually was upset that I sat there and, you know, tried to kill him. It's like, "What's the matter with you? So my people die." It's this guy. That's the thing that got me. How cruel and cold this person.
Yeah, just insensitive. I wonder what he's doing now.
Living a very miserable life. I don't care.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's one thing I don't care. Even upon my worst enemy, you know, to have somebody experience like that. I mean, you just, there's a human side to everybody, and to have it.
There should be.
Like that, there should be. But to have a total, cold, callous attitude towards this, to anybody, you know, I would wish, like I said, why do people live like this? How can they live? How can they look at themselves
man,
in the mirror?
I feel for you. I feel for you. And I can understand how that was your maddest moment.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'd be in jail today if it wasn't for that one line.
Yeah.
I would physically.
They literally saved your life and your who you are today. You would have, you'd be gone. So would he.
Well, yeah, he'd be gone. And I would care less. But,
unbelievable.
You know, but the fact that she saved my life basically from life behind bars, because I'm sure that, you know, who knows what I've been charged with. But,
and I bet all your friends, they probably learned something just by watching that guy.
Oh, yeah, no, this guy's got a reputation like you wouldn't believe, you know. But it's just how you have people that sit there and go, "Well, you know, this guy's a human debris."
Yep, exactly. Hey, Jimmy, thanks for the call, and sorry for your loss. Nobody deserves to get that. Nobody. Let's go to Armeek in Los Angeles, west of the Rockies. Hello there, Armeek. Welcome to the show.
What's going on, George?
There you are.
All right, all right. I wanted to have two comments.
Okay.
One about the strange place where my car broke down, and I just wanted to add on to the lady who called the guy about witchcraft.
Okay.
And asked if, like, they sacrifice animals.
Mm-hmm.
I live near the train tracks in L.A., and I will tell you, I find, like, skulls. I found a raccoon's tail by itself with a blue rubber band at the end of it.
Oh, jeez.
And I know that people are doing dark rituals, but I just kind of want to maybe clarify. So these people probably aren't witches because the doctrines of Wicca is, like...
I agree.
About nature, and it's not about negativity, but... the force or these different principles can be used for good or for bad. And, you know, it's like saying all Muslims are terrorists or whatever.
Right.
You know?
These are devil worshipers, I think.
Right. Right. And anyway, about where I broke down, the most frustrating story. So I put a new battery on my car, but I didn't tie down the cables tight enough, right?
Okay.
I lived in El Segundo at the time, and the alarm, the remote clicker for the alarm to my car, well, the little piece that connects to your keychain broke. So, you know, I accidentally left the remote at home. And I'm driving, and all of a sudden my car just clicks and turns off, and I look, the battery cable came off, and I couldn't get the car started because as soon as I reconnect the battery, the alarm starts going off, and it looks like I'm still in my own car in Westwood.
So
I catch the bus all the way back to El Segundo. Pick up my remote to catch the bus all the way back to Westwood, get my car, and I had to push my car out of traffic. So I was like, oh, my God. Yeah, I wasted 3 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
When you least expect it, it's so inconvenient, too, when it happens, isn't it?
Terrible.
When the car breaks down. Hey, thanks for the stories. I really appreciate that. I used to have an old Mercedes in St. Louis. With 300,000 miles on it, I picked it up used. It was a 1985 Mercedes. Yeah, that's what I think it was, 1985. 300,000 miles on it. And I had a key at home, and I had a key with me, and we had gone out to dinner that night. And the valet guy somehow locked the key in the car. These are these old cars. These things happen. He locked the keys in the car because, you know, you put down on the little knob there. With the engine running and the air conditioner on, it was about 98 degrees at night in St. Louis. And we're watching the dial, the temperature dial, go up, 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 up. That, I mean, the car was literally cooking. And so what I had to do, I got in a cab. Went all the way home. It was 20 miles away from this restaurant. Came all the way back with the other key to open up the Mercedes and shut it off. And it was in the red. The heat was in the red. It was a mess. Had to cool it down. Had to throw water on the engine. And do you think the restaurant paid for the cab trip to get that key? Nope. Not at all. We go next to Peoria, Illinois. Kevin's with us on Coast to Coast. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, George.
Hi.
Hey, I've been a long-time listener.
Thank you, Kevin.
My buddy from Castle's Petty Wine, the bartender, has turned me on to you a long time ago.
Oh, great. That's a busy place.
It is. We serve a hell of a lot of food. And cheese and crackers. But what I was wanting to talk to you about is, I don't exactly understand, is God an alien?
No. No.
He's not of this, he's not from this earth. And what we call people that are things that are not of this earth.
He's not of anything. That's the thing. He's not of this planet. He's not of the universe. Whatever it is, whatever God is, it's all-encompassing.
He's thrown, when I watched the Men in Black movie, he's basically like tossed out marbles. These things have tossed out marbles and they're universes.
They were, each one was a universe, right?
Yeah.
And that could very well, you know, they're talking about multi-universes now, that they all exist. And that's very possible. But, you know, we should do a show one night on just what you think God is. People who are ultra-religious will talk about what they think God is. People who are supernatural will talk about what they think God is. People who are scientific may talk about what God is. The thing I know is that this wasn't a fluke. This, what we call life on this planet, was not accidental. There was order to it. There was reason to it. Now, how we got to it, what you want to call God, that's up to you. But this was not merely a fluke of nature. This thing just didn't happen. Just didn't happen. It's amazing, isn't it? It really is. Kevin, thanks. You got us thinking now about that. Let's go next to Oak Harbor, Washington. It's Miles' turn on Coast to Coast. Miles, you're up.
How you doing?
Good. How about you?
Doing pretty good tonight. Kind of bored at my RV, but just decided to call in and talk to you.
Are you parked somewhere?
I'm at my parents' house. I bought an RV, so.
How big is it?
About 35 feet.
Oh, that's a pretty good size.
Yeah, it's all right.
Do you live in it, or you just drive it around?
Yeah, I live in it.
Let me ask you this. This is neat because you're living in your house and you drive it. So what would your payments be on this?
Oh, it's paid for. So.
Oh, my God. So you're living like rent-free.
Yeah, I got it as a gift a couple years ago. So.
I love it. And in terms of electricity and stuff, what do? Just plug it in?
Well, everything works in here, but I just use the restroom inside because I shut the water off. But, yeah, it's all right.
How cool.
But how possible guest you should get on your show.
Okay, who?
Joe Medicine Crow. He's a pro member in Idaho.
I've heard of him.
Yeah, look at his Wikipedia. He's a World War II hero, and his grandfather was in Custer's, the Battle of Custer.
He's got to be like 80-something.
He's 103.
103?
Yeah, but I'm part Native and part Japanese, and my friend talked to him. This guy's amazing, man. Just look at his stories.
And he's pretty coherent at that age?
Yeah, he got awarded by Obama last year for Medal of Freedom.
Yeah, okay, that's the same guy.
Yeah.
We'll try to track him. Do you know him well?
Well, my friend does. He's a Crow-Indian, but I don't know him. But
does the old guy have a phone?
I don't know, but he's just amazing to talk to. Like, he talks about Custer and stuff, and it's the only guy alive probably knows all about that, you know?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, send me an email at george@coasttocoastam.com with your friend's phone number. Maybe we can set something up with this guy.
All right. Well, thank you for letting me call in.
Okay. Appreciate that. I'd love to interview a person who's over 100 years old. How cool is that? Jeff in Culver City. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on this phone war going on between the FBI and Apple.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I never thought I'd see the day when corporate America would refuse to assist our premier law enforcement agency with the problem. But, George, don't you believe that there is something more to this phone debate than what either the Feds or Apple is letting us know about? By this, I mean, could there be something inside these iPhones to serve a particular function totally unknown to the users, something which connects with or interferes with the subconscious state of mind? Now, I know it sounds far-fetched, but these phones are always on 24/7, even if the battery is removed. And I think it's definitely some type of signaling device connected to satellites, the telephone and radio wave transmission, and all that's combining all these signals together and helping the Feds connect the dots in their various investigations. Or they probably wanted, to be like the NSA, where all the information is routed directly to them and their servers and all that. What do you think about that, George?
That could be. See, I think that the FBI should be allowed to get the information. I mean, they're talking today that there may have been a third person involved in that San Bernardino episode, part of it. And they're not talking about the guy who bought the guns. This would be somebody else. We should find these people. We have a right to find that. And I think what Apple should do is very selectively work with the FBI and try to give them the information they're looking for without giving them the whole store, literally. That's what they should do. I think that would be the smartest thing to do for all of us. I mean, terrorism is real. Whether, you know, how you believe it was created is another matter. But there are people out there that hate our guts and would love to do whatever they can to destroy our way of living. You know, again, let's not argue about the merits of why there's terrorism. You know, one would say it's our actions. We created it. Things like that. The bottom line is people are out there. They hate our guts. They'd love to do anything to destroy us. And if we can find out who they are, we need to go after them. Pure and simple. Well, we're going to take a break, but we're going to come back again with more of your open line calls. And by the looks of things, people are all over the place on hold. So we'll get to all of you. And again, don't forget, you want a fun weekend, go to paranormaldate.com and download our free apps in the app stores under Paranormal Date. Simple as that.